Robinhood Radio presents Do the Right Thing
with Karen Grigsby Bates, Los Angeles-based correspondent for NPR News. Karen also was a news reporter for People magazine, a contributing columnist on the op-ed pages for the Los Angeles Times for 10 years. Karen's work has also appeared in Time, The New York Times, The Washington Post, Essence, and Vogue.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right.
It's Karen Grigsby Bates, Do the Right Thing. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Jill.
Thoughts?
Sympathies? Yeah, there's been a lot going on recently. There have been a number of deaths. There's been one really prominent death in the past couple of weeks, and people are still talking about it, partly because Kobe Bryant was who he was, but also partly because of how he's been written about by various people, many of them in the media, which has me thinking about what we say when we hear news that people have passed on.
Yeah, and what is really interesting is I have to say that with from an outside perspective, the grace and dignity that his family has exhibited is and should be a lesson to us all. I have been reminded of what it's like to be raised right and to raise people right by that the entire classy, amazing, you know, behavior in the face of absolutely devastating circumstances. And I'm just so glad you mentioned it because it is, in my view, a real counterpoint to what all else has been going on.
Yeah, and it's an interesting look at celebrity in death because, of course, this country, like many countries, is still fascinated by celebrity. Still, when big things happen, still has opinions about it. And we're not shy about expressing it. So in some ways, Kobe's death kind of reminded me of what happened after the Princess of Wales died, where there was this spontaneous outpouring, and people just showed up, you know, with bouquets and with, with small written tributes and just milling around the Staples Center because that's where they could get to go, to just show how deeply he had affected them. In the media, there's been an ongoing debate about how much to discuss all of what's happened. In 2003, I believe it was, Kobe Bryant was charged with raping a young woman while he was on a trip to Colorado. And that really put a dent in his public image for a while. It slowed down his career for a while. And he, by most accounts, came back from that and sort of grew up and became a better husband, father, citizen, and ultimately teammate, although not immediately after. And so the question is, do we say something about this when we're talking about his many contributions, his this, that, and the other? And people were quite divided about it. A lot of the fans said, this isn't the time. You know, he's not even buried yet. He's, you know, his family's still grieving. Well, his family's going to grieve for a long time. And other people were like, well, this is his, we're talking about his life in its entirety, not just the parts we want to remember. And this is something that was a significant milestone in his life. And so we have to, in some way, mention it. And there's been a big back and forth ever since. I'm sure you saw late last week Gail King's interview with Lisa Leslie of the Women's National Basketball Association, who was a very, very good friend of Kobe's and had been mentored by him and just, you know, close family friend. And there was a piece of the interview that CBS released as a promo that gave her a lot of grief and made a lot of people very angry. Angry at her, angry at the network, and it was basically her pressing Leslie to admit that she knew that Bryant had been, had these proclivities. And as Leslie kept saying, well, you know, he's a good friend. I don't know him that way. And King kept saying, well, you wouldn't, because if he's a good friend, he's not going to show that to you. And people just went crazy. King got death threats. There were calls to boycott CBS. I mean, it was an interesting intensity with which people remembered. And what they were objecting to was the fact, I think, that she had mentioned this at all, and also that what people objected to, some people objected to the fact that it was said at all. Others objected to the fact that it felt like the interviewer was kind of pushing the person being interviewed to admit something that the person being interviewed said, I don't see it that way. You know, it was sort of a debate as opposed to an interview, or maybe an inquisition as opposed to an interview. And there was lots of anger and hurt behind it. And so, you know, most of us are not going to be on the public stage, but we will be faced in instances where we have people who are close to us who die, who have, you know, human lives, as we all do, who have faults as well as lots of grace. And the question is, what do we say when that happens? You know, if you're asked to say something about it. So I don't know.
Do you have an? I'm curious. I watched the clip that was put out, and I thought that Lisa Leslie. I thought she handled herself well.
Oh, she did. I don't think anybody was debating that at all.
But I didn't. If you read, and this is one of the problems, if you watch and listen to tone of voice rather than reading words, you will get a different idea of what happened. So I didn't see that there was huge pressure for Lisa. This is just my interpretation for Lisa Leslie to recant her statements at all. It seemed to me that King's comment was more, well, yeah, you wouldn't see it necessarily. And Lisa Leslie's response was, actually, there are a bunch of people who, yeah, you would. And there was authenticity. I hate that word, and I really apologize. But in that exchange, that was the way that people actually talk. But then when you took the, and it's not context, I always rant about context in terms of news, but when you take the tone of voice, which most people have abandoned anyway because they're just using screens and they think they know what the person sounds like, when the minute that you remove the tone of voice from those words, you've got a whole different kettle of fish.
Well, that's the problem, that a lot of this was debated on social media.
Yeah,
and
well,
as you said, with social, there's not a whole lot of nuance. And so it was a problem because people saw what they saw or heard what they, you know, what they heard and were very convinced of it and then just, you know, went off. So that was part of it.
And I guess my, you know, in terms of memorializing, look, if anyone with the slightest spiritual tendency, which is there is none as far as I can tell on social media, understands that human beings are flawed, and it's the whole life, it's the whole amazing. And one thing that we don't do in America as well as they do in the old country is we don't do redemption, apparently. And social media is, again, not the best outlet.
Part of it is we've now taken to doing everything on social media. So when you see often, I mean, I just saw something yesterday where somebody said, so my mother died last week and I was busy dealing with that, but I just wanted people to know, and, you know, this is how old she was and we missed her, and got a lot of sympathy and a lot of condolences expressed online. So there is that with social media and death. But I think when you're famous, it gets more complicated because there's lots of anonymous stuff that comes through with people saying, you know, what they said. And that's a problem.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that people, after we've now had plenty of social media, plenty of time to learn how to function. We've now had plenty of practice with social media. So it's really, I think, almost time to reinstill some old values, which is basically, in the case of if you are going to convey your condolences online, great.
Yeah.
Do it kindly. If you have something not nice to say about the person, stuff it. Sit on it. Don't post it. And
sometimes the person doesn't even have to be dead. Watching the State of the Union last week, we saw the controversial radio host Rush Limbaugh be given a presidential Medal of Freedom. And many people felt all kinds of ways about that. A lot of his detractors immediately posted, you know, he shouldn't get it, number one. He should, you know, die really quickly, number two. To their credit, there were a lot of people who said, you know, I just dislike him intensely. I dislike what he stands for. I dislike everything about him. But I think it's too bad what's happening to him in terms of his terminal disease. And I can't hop on the bandwagon of people who are urging him to just, you know, take a deep breath and don't let it out. So there does seem to be a kind of, I can't call it a turning point, but a counterbalance to some of the meanness. But there's plenty of meanness out there for all of us.
Yeah, but it's definitely something that can still be improved upon.
As always.
Thank you very much, Karen Grigsby Bates. Do the right thing.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Do the Right Thing with Karen Grigsby Bates, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow.
On the web, robinhoodradio.com.
Fly right.